We're going to continue on in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4 if you'll follow along with me this morning. The thought that I want to try to convey in a very simple analogy this morning, a very simplistic approach, is we talked about it last week, but we want to continue on because all through these verses in chapter 1, I hope that you will see or that it will be revealed to you in a new way, this new potential. And this new potential has provision and power. So let's read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Another way to say that is a faith of equal standing with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Another way to say that is to his own glory and excellence, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, or another way of saying that, is because of sinful desire. Now, last lesson we discussed this new potential that is available to us because of belief in the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. We have a new potential that is available to us through the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we made a note, and I want to keep harping on this, because there is a huge difference between intellectual information about Jesus in the scripture and experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question as we get started. When I use this two-word comparison, in your mind, does incredibly exciting full life, having this incredible life and godliness, or your perception of godliness or holiness, do these two really go together in your mind? Now, I'm going to say again, we are pressing in to try to let go of our religiosity and press into relationships. So what that means is we all have to press in toward authentic, honest, truthful, open dialogue, and that means it starts with ourselves. That's where we have to start. So let me ask it a different way. Do you envision an energized, fun life as you personally walk with God? Thank you. Women, the last service, were the first ones to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. This plagued me for the first portion of my Christian pursuit, because I am and have been a fun-loving, wide-open guy. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. Sometimes I do goofy things, and my wife gives me that look like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I wasn't, but it was hilarious. Got my bad girl. I love that. That's good. So I remember I used to hide around the corner and scare my grandmother. She was in her 80s. I just thought that was the funniest thing. She'd keep telling me to stop, but she did the same thing every time. Made me laugh. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of the people that I was around in my religious tradition growing up, oh my goodness, they're holy and they're righteous and they're boring and oh my goodness. You understand what I'm saying? And so for me, these two word comparisons, let's be honest, some of you right now, you're struggling because you think that to be godly, you've got to give up something incredible. And I want to just direct you right back to what Pastor Chris said to start this. Lie. I struggle with that. I was living two different lives. I was walking in two different paths as a teenager, just getting out of high school, because I didn't think that they were congruent together. I didn't think that they went together. I thought that you had one or the other. And I didn't see that this rich, full, amazing life could be partnered with godliness. And I'm telling you right now, what I have been learning in my life, thank you, God, laughing. And people say to me all the time, Pastor Jim, you don't drink? I'm like, you know me. Why would I drink? Seriously. And plus, I can remember what I did. It's easier to say I'm sorry. But you understand what I'm saying? I want to encourage you right off the bat to address the lie in your own mind. If you don't think that a full, vivacious life, a wide open, fun life, an exhilarating life, and godliness don't go together, you've been believing a lie just like I did. Let's move on. Oh, let me read you some phrases here. Because as we address the deception, the misrepresentation, or the lie that the defeated forces try to whisper in our ears and place in our minds, we've got to address this or we're not going to be able to receive the powerful analogy and the words of what Peter's trying to pass on. What did he say? As his divine power. What Peter's trying to tell us, and Peter's telling us from personal experience, this is not about us trying to clean ourselves up. This is about the divine power of God. He has given to us everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness. They go together. A rich, full life and godliness can be synonymous. Why? Because God's divine power, he's given us everything that we need for these things to come together. Another phrase, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Please hear me. God in his power has made some provisions available to us that are mind-boggling. He has never given us anything. He's never misrepresented himself. He's never lied. He's never... The problem is us, and we listen to the forces of evil. God keeps his promises. God is faithful. God has made some amazing provision for us. The last one in this section is partakers of divine nature. Do you really believe that you can partake of God's divine nature over you? that's for this small percentage of people. No, it's for you. It's for you. It's for I could go around person by person. If we believe that Jesus is the living Son of God, that he is God in the flesh on our behalf, guess what? This divine nature from God is for all of us to partake in. Can you imagine a group of people that really began to believe that they could personally partake of God's divine nature? Man. There's so much mind-boggling stuff in these verses, and I know it can be hard to believe, but I'm trying to proclaim that we must believe what Peter is relaying to us. Peter is relaying this to us from his own personal experience with the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read this to you. You can read it. I hope you get this. Faith is not the absence of doubt or fear, but rather the reality of acting on what God says about himself as well as what he wants for us based on what he has already done for us. Faith is not the absence of doubt or fear, but rather the reality of acting on what God says about himself as well as what he wants for us based on what he has already done for us or on our behalf. Look at the next phrase. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, another phrase is because of sinful desire. Corruption in this passage means moral decay. Can I just ask you a question? When you look around at our world, do you see moral decay? Like never before, it's right in front of us. This is that desire, that craving or longing, especially a desire for what is forbidden. Things when I was growing up that you didn't even talk about. Now we're on social media all the time. Movies are made about these things. The things that are forbidden. Some of you, you participate and you engage with these forbidden sins, and then you wonder why you don't feel the closeness of God or you don't feel his love. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because this forbidden cravings pressing into these things is affecting or anesthetizing your spiritual sensitivity to where that you cannot be connected with him the way that he desires for you. But he says that we can escape or flee the impact of this world on our lives. These lustful cravings, all of these things, we can escape or flee them. But here's the difference. It's not the normal religious standard. It's not by removing ourselves or physically running away from people or society. Any Holy Spirit-filled body does not remove itself and become like a monastery in order to stay pure. No, that's not how it's done. But by being radically changed in our hearts and minds by the power of God. What did Jesus pray for us in John chapter 17? Not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be protected or guarded as the Holy Spirit works in and through us so that we can be light shining in darkness. We're not supposed to run away and flee. We're not supposed to inculcate ourselves into this little group like us four and no more. We're supposed to be in the battle, but we're supposed to have that light of Jesus and the Holy Spirit shining from the inside out. We have been, and we're going to continue. We're talking today about living hope. Living hope. Do you want this living hope? Do you want to experience this new potential by the power of God in your life? If so, then you may be asking, then what do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked, even though I didn't hear you. I'm simply trying to make a simple analogy that might help us understand some of the basics of what we're discussing this morning. This week in our study group, several ideas for analogies emerged this week from our group, such as an investment account. An investment account would apply to the things that we're talking about this morning, a library or a big mechanics toolbox, all of those things. But what I want you to consider this morning, we've got some pictures we're going to rotate through. This is not just up here for our highlight this morning between Mesa and our food pantry. This is up here because we're going to use a normal household food pantry to try to help us understand some of these things that Peter's presenting to us this morning. So as you look through the pictures up here, and as you're going through, we've got some normal food pantries. But what I want you to consider this morning as you look at these is the most amazing household food pantry that we could ever imagine humanly. Even more stocked than some of the more amazing cooking shows. And I don't know about you, but when we do get an opportunity to watch those cooking shows, you ever notice how their pantries, you're just like, wouldn't that be cool? Look at what they're grabbing. Like, they went in and grabbed lobster. Yeah. I mean, all these different ingredients. So I want you to just consider and just brainstorm a little bit. What would this greatest pantry of all time have? Well, let me give you some ideas. Fully stocked canned goods of all sorts, sauces of all types, pastas, grains, and rices. Now, let me just say this. As you're imagining this most amazing food pantry in your house in the world, it's based on your personality and your likes and dislikes. If you're sitting there going, excuse me, I don't like rice. Well, then rice is not in yours, okay? Just imagine the greatest pantry of all time. Every type of spice as well as ingredients, fully stocked fresh vegetables and fruits. I've got a couple examples up here. Oh, yeah, zucchini. Lemons, you got to squirt that. I learned. It's really good on stuff. People have shown me that. Fully stocked fish, bird, lamb, and beef. Every good food that would help you prepare the most amazing meal for your personality choices is contained in this pantry. Now, what's hilarious is I'm using this as an example. There's some of you here this morning that you absolutely love to cook, so you're super excited and you're already dreaming. Matter of fact, you probably won't hear anything I say from this point on because you're sitting there going, can you imagine that? Like, I could just cook like for 8 hours and your spouse is going, come back. We can't afford that kind of pantry. All right. Now, there's others of you that you dabble with cooking, So you're a little bit curious about, what might be? And some of you would simply say, I don't cook. That's why they have Uber Eats. I don't do that. What good is that to me? Let's just be honest. Regardless of your background, your training, or your preferences, the greatest pantry in the world, this is just a sample, has no value to you personally unless you take action. You understand what I'm talking about? We're just using a household food pantry. It could be the most amazing stock food pantry in the world, but it has absolutely no value unless you take action. The most amazing, greatest provisions are of absolutely no value to you unless you do something with the potential. We're talking about potential this morning. I don't know about you, but let me just show you. The kind of faith that we're talking about was that. The kind of faith that we're talking about with these provisions, with this food pantry we're trying to use in illustration, is you simply reach out and you grab the green beans and you make them part of what you're doing. This is faith. I reached out, I grabbed the green beans. Now, if you want to pop the lid and you want to eat them cold, eat them cold. If you want to heat them up, heat them up. These are grandma's green beans. This is some awesome stuff. Don't ask me for these after service because I'll struggle. All right? I love me some green beans. But what I'm saying, you heat them up if you want to share them with somebody else. That's what faith is. Faith is simply grabbing a hold and doing something with these incredible provisions that God has made available to us. Now, what I want to do is I got a spice rack on the back of a door here that I want to show you something. It's a really simple example. But one of the things that I love up here is I've got real garlic cloves and I've got my favorite garlic powder can. Used to, I didn't know how to use garlic. I'm not a prolific cook, but I like to try every once in a while, and I love garlic. So I love this thing. You know why I love this over this? Take the lid off and you go like that. And you get it on stuff. And I'm like doctoring up stuff and my wife's like, stop. But I like garlic. But you know, I'm learning how to do it. But some of you, you don't cook very much, so you don't really understand what an incredible ingredient this is in so many different ways. But you begin to learn, you begin to practice, you begin to study, you learn more, you talk to other people, you figure out, oh man, this is really good. This goes in a lot of things. This enhances certain flavors. This brings out other flavors. It's not like you're trying to just get that strong garlic taste, but you're using it to complement other flavors. And then maybe you go from here to you start buying real garlic cloves and you cut them up and you put them in stuff, okay? I learned last service that for some of you going to the next level is you get a garlic press. I just found out last service we have one of those in our house. There might be a reason why my wife hasn't told me that till last service, but I'm just saying. Then you learn how to begin to press the garlic and you begin to do things. And what I'm saying is it is a process of learning how to incorporate and utilize these things in our pantry. It doesn't just happen overnight. There's a process. Reminder. Think about this. We have to develop, but we have to make a decision to tap in the provisions of the pantry. You know the problem with a lot of us here this morning? These great and precious promises, these incredible provisions, we're not tapping into them, we're not using them, we're not going into the pantry, and we're not grabbing these things. And we need to learn how to use and apply the provisions. And let me just be honest. This is legal in this church family. I don't know what tradition you come from, because some of you come from perfectionist religious traditions where you're not allowed to make mistakes, and if you do stumble and you make a mistake, then God knows you just lost your salvation, and you're not welcome in church. We ain't that group. If you hold me to that standard, this is my last service. Some of you are going like, amen. Nah, ain't that easy. But you understand what I'm saying? Think about this. When you learn to use the provisions in the pantry and you begin to apply them, what happens? You ruin some of the ingredients. You burn the food. You possibly undercook sometimes. Don't eat it. Or you overcook stuff. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are working right now to not look at your spouse. Okay? We may even have a flash fire with a pan on the stove. It's all part of learning. Let's be honest. How many of you this morning have ever burned something on the skillet or in the oven? Raise your hands. It's part of the process. It's part of the process. That's how some of you test your smoke detectors. Let's be honest. Nah, that one needs a battery. It's okay. Reminder, no one can make you utilize the powerful provisions of your pantry but you. All these powerful provisions that God has supplied for you, you have to do it. It's personal, and only you can unlock this new potential in Christ. It does not take the greatest faith on the planet, but it does take enough faith to take action. That's faith. I'm going to take something out of this amazing pantry that God has provided, that Peter's saying these great and precious promises, and I'm going to grab one and I'm going to do something with it. But what if I fail? You will learn through your failure. What if I make mistakes and embarrass myself? Get over yourself and make the mistake, because there's growth and movement in that. Yeah. Did you hear that? Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Faith is not the absence of doubt or fear, but rather the reality of acting on what God says about himself, as well as what he wants for us based on what he has already done for us. Very simple illustration this morning. We have new potential in Christ, and it is because he is God. Christ is God. Peter is experientially proclaiming the potential that we have in Christ. The greatest power in the universe, Creator God, is on our side if we believe. Did you hear what I just said? The Creator that put all of this in place is on your side. We just have to believe him. Creator God has made supernatural provisions on your behalf. What are you going to do with all this this morning? This is what I see. This is why I keep harping on the difference between the intellectual approach, because this is what some of you have done your whole life. Man, okay, I'm hanging with this whole analogy thing. Wonder how long they cooked those beans under what pressure. I need to check that. Somebody needs to check that lid, see if it's still tight. You know, you don't eat those beans if they're not tight. You know, I wonder how many ounces are in that Prego thing. Yeah, how long you had that garlic? This is what I see people doing all the time. Microanalyzing verses and theology, and it's just this intellectual approach. And I don't care about that for our church family. Seriously, I don't care about that. Go stinking, grab you a zucchini and get to business. What has happened to us that we don't ask you here to recite some creed or have this theology down pat, or you got to be able to pontificate about all these different things? No, what we're trying to get us to go back to is like, God has provided this pantry and this is what he's doing for me. What did the New Testament teach? So I don't know how to explain it, but once I was blind, but now I can see. Let me point you to who did it for me. That's what we need to get back to. I'm just telling you, I know there's other stuff, but man, I'm just telling you, this pasta and sauce I got, some good stuff. Some of you are getting hungry right now. I'm almost done. Okay? Do you get what I'm saying? What are you going to do with all this? You're going to stand and study all the provisions and dream of the potential while you continue to do nothing? Are you going to leave here and go, well, that's pretty good. That kind of makes sense. And you leave out of here thinking, man, that was a good lesson, but you do nothing with it? That's not the point. Walk in and get started. We are all going to make mistakes, but we're learning personally and together as a family unit. With this, I'll close. Some of you, you're good cooks. You know what it's like to pass that on? It's just as simple. Here's a pan. This is what I use to lubricate the pan. This is how I crack eggs. Mix them up. This is how you do scrambled eggs. Person standing next to you, you say, go get your pan. Here's a pan. Look at me. That's what discipleship really is. Taking the stuff that you've learned how to utilize from your pantry, it doesn't mean you have to know all the other ingredients and how they all fit together, and you got to be some gourmet chef before you step out and help somebody. No, it says, hey, you want to know how to scramble eggs? Sure, I don't know how to scramble eggs. What do you mean? This is what happens in church a lot of times. What do you mean you don't know how to scramble eggs? You're 35, you don't know how to scramble eggs? What, are you an idiot? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we need to be honest enough to say, man, I don't have scrambled eggs. Let me show you how to scramble eggs. Now, if you feel something crunchy, it's because I don't have that whole shell thing down yet. Okay? That's how I cook. Lori's like, you got shell in there. I'm like, I know. I'm trying to get them out. But you learn together. Powerful provision and new potential. That's what we're trying to learn together and walk in. God wants to blow your mind if you'll simply, by faith, grab some of his provisions in your spiritual pantry. Let's stand and sing together.